Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Your host, Greg, will have smart discussions with friends, experts, and thought leaders on customer experience, transformation, and leadership. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. I am sure you will enjoy the next episode with the guest I selected for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Today, it's a special day because I'm speaking with an Italian guy, Antonio Grasso from Napoli, Naples. And I'm really thrilled to kick off this discussion because already the pre-discussion were outstanding. Today, we are going to discuss about Toward a Post-Digital Society. It's the book that Antonio published. But before we deep dive in all this topic, hi, Antonio. How are you?
Hi, Gregorio. I'm fine. And thank you. Thanks for having me. It's such a pleasure to stay with you here recording this podcast. Thank you.
The pleasure is all on my side. And for the audience that perhaps don't know you yet, could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah. Basically, I'm a technical guy. I talk bits and bytes every day. I'm an ex-software developer that become also a tough leader after 40 years of experience, you know, merging knowledge, technical knowledge with the business knowledge. Every time I worked with the companies, you know, injecting IT in their business model. That is my job for the last 35, 40 years. But from 4 or 5 years, I also started working on writing article. And this led me to also to write my book. This is my book, is a Toward the Post-Digital Society, because apart from my technical knowledge, I was interested in understanding the impact of digital evolution in our society, in our economy, in me trying to figure out the next 15 to 20 years, what will let 10 to 15, 20 is a bit longer, 10 to 15 years, how technology innovation will impact our day-by-day life and our work.
Thank you, Antonio. I already have 200 questions I would like to ask you because a lot of people, including me, don't understand what is happening now. And you are already speaking about in 10, 15 years. And what I really like from the book, it's also putting all these jiggle puzzle together, putting all different technologies and what the implication and so on. We speak a lot about AI in one silos. We speak about blockchain in one silos. We speak about other topics in silos, and you are putting them all together. But before deep dive in that, which values drive in life?
Sorry, which?
Values drive in life.
Yes, yes, okay. I rely on the value of work, on the value of empathy also, on the value of trying to be a better person and trying also to include people, not to marginalize anyone. That was my commitment also in my company. I run a company. I have employees that work with me. I try to work with them on as a team worker, not as a boss, as a leader, more motivating them. But apart that, I like to put technology for the betterment of human beings. This is my, I'm not reaching my goals because it's not something that you can do alone. You need to do, but I spread when I have the opportunity, I take every time the opportunity to spread this message everywhere. So overall, the peace is a value that I like, but inclusion, empathy, and thinking, improving day by day is something that led me to the position where I am now.
Thank you very much, Antonio. And you mentioned that also sharing knowledge. You did also a lot of studies. Let's kick off this game toward a post-digital society, the great book that you wrote. As I said already earlier, we are really struggling with digital transformation now. And what's your perspective on digital transformation? Where can we start? Where should we start as company?
Gregorio, let me say that digital transformation is a process, is a journey, is not a destination. It's a journey. A couple of months ago, I wrote an article making a parallel between the digital transformation journey and the poem by Dante, the Divina Commedia. You know, Divina Commedia's, we can say, layers. We have purgatory, we have the heaven, we have the hell. We have, if we say, so, you know, I try to insert the Dante's vision because for many, the digital transformation journey can become an inferno, if you let me to say that, because many start acquiring the most innovative technology on the market. They put in the company without any, you know, strategy, without any involvement, engagement for employee. And that start the inferno, because, you know, it's, you cannot start to think about digital transformation only relying on technology. Yes, of course, technology is one of the pillars. It's not the most important, in my opinion, but we are not here to score every pillar. The most important is this. It's one of the pillar, technology, but it's not the only one. Culture, mindset, learning, day by day is important. And also, so in my opinion, I think you need to watch, watch inside your company, check your business model. What are you doing with your company? And then align this with the availability of technology that we can have now, and then starting the process, but don't start only with technology. Technologies come after the strategy, after the people involvement, because we are moving toward where digital evolution is no more only something like the ERP of some years ago. You know, I started to writing a lot of ERP in companies. There was a big shift, you know, the mechanization. We don't call them digitalization. Digitalization is a term that come after. In the 80s, 90s, we started with the mechanization. This term in Italy was meccanizzazione. Mechanization is in Italy to process become mechanic, no more manual. So digital transformation is a journey. Start with understanding who you are, your ecosystem, where you operate, that is very important. Start to understand what you have inside your company, your resources. Analyze your resources. See if you need to move on the culture, on culture, if you need to enhance the culture to improve learning. Don't pick the process and make them a robotic process without re-engineering it, because it's important to re-engineer process because of digital. So if you don't want that, this become an inferno. If you want to go to the heaven, start slowly. Don't forget these two things, and analyze yourself, and also analyze the technology, and also take the opportunity to talk with the people that are more expert than you. So create advisory, panel, consultancy, etc.
Thank you, Antonio. You mentioned a lot of topics. Perhaps the first one I would double click on it and deep dive is, you spoke about culture, company culture, and you are also a consultant, you're helping a lot of companies. What strategies do you recommend for embedding this digital transformation, digital first culture within organization?
It's important, in my opinion, Gregorio, to start with, you know, the leadership. This is one of the first, the leadership commitment and the role modeling, in my opinion. If we want to talk technically about it, I think the leadership commitment that involves role modeling, but also, as I said before, strategy. It must be clear, a clearly articulated vision and strategy, I think, is essential. And as I said before, employment, employee engagement, and training, you need to foster a culture of continuous learning because technology is also changing day by day. So basically, just to say three things that I think that can be important, I would say leadership, commitment, role modeling, clearly a vision and a strategy clearly articulated, and employee engagement and training. That is my three points, I think, is the most important to follow for a digital culture.
Thank you. You spoke about the importance of human beings in this transformation, in this evolution or revolution, and you spoke already about technology. How does digital transformation enhance human experience?
Completely, Gregorio. I think completely, because as I wrote in my book, the main shift is the different role of people. While many are thinking about technology will assume any new role, will substitute human, human will not be useful. This is completely wrong, in my opinion, because technology is our tool. We made it. We made the technology. We created the software, and then we created the AI. But we must remember that AI is a software. It's a software that is relying on zero and one. This is unbelievable, how human ingenuity comes so far. So only using zero and one and a multitude of repetition of this, we created generative AI. This is unbelievable. But this is an achievement of human beings. It's not an achievement of the machines. The machines are at our fingertips. We can use them as a tool. So talking about human experience, I need to make a short reasoning before why I talk at the post-digital society. This is important to understand the human experience. I called my book Toward a Post-Digital Society, where digital evolution meets people revolution, the tagline. Well, post-digital, why post-digital? Post-digital because it's linked to the human experience. Post-digital because as happened with electricity and tap water at home, we will be used to technology. It become no more an innovation. Today the telephone is no more an innovation. Today the electricity at home is no more an innovation. What is an innovation now? The digital app, the smartphone, the digital evolution, digital innovation now are considered still innovation. But in some years, we will not consider that an innovation. We will be used. So we will no more notice that we are using digital, but we will notice when we missed it. For example, if you go at home and you switch, trigger the light, and the light don't come, you say, oh, what is happening? Oh, I'm noticing that my electricity don't work. For example. So you do not notice your electricity at home no more. But when you notice it when you don't have availability, when they are making some work and you don't have electricity or tap water, worse, tap water at all. So, in my opinion, we are becoming ever more used to technology that becomes so intrinsically linked to our day-by-day experience that we will no more notice. That is the beginning of the post-digital era. Post-digital society, post-digital era, and consequently the post-digital society, we talk about some phenomena, big phenomena like a war, like a pandemic. They create a before and after. So we call pre-pandemic, we call post-pandemic, we call pre-war, we call post-war. This is not, does not mean that the phenomena are not happening. They are happening, but we are you said too, from in my opinion, a post-digital society will be a society where people have different experience, are used to technology, and they will have a new kind of role that we will talk in a bit. So I imagine a new role. The human experience will be completely different to ones where thanks to the fact that technology, digital technology, will become every day is like tap water, electricity, and like the telephone. No more noticed when we have, we will notice when we don't have.
Thank you, Antonio. I think this is really important to deep dive and to perhaps understand better based on your experiences and all your researches. In your book, in chapter 4, you are listing this disruptive technology. I mentioned them quickly: generative AI, nanotechnology, advanced virtual and augmented reality, artificial intelligence of things, cybersecurity, quantum computing, edge computing, cloud computing.
Yeah.
These technology are, some of them are already there and we can apply them, other not yet, at least as a society, but the technology is there. When are also human beings ready to use it, to leverage it, and when this technology will get like electricity or water coming out in our room? When will we be ready to use it?
I think as human beings we are ready. Ready to use it because we adapt. We have such adaptability. We have such a resilient. We have such a resilient organism. Sorry, I don't want to call organism because it's like something. Yeah, humans. Yeah, we are such resilient, such adaptable people. So I think it is already happening now. The problem are the phenomena that are linked to its adoption, to its our understanding. The problem is about the outcome, is not about the simple adoption of the technology. If you think about, AI, generative AI, I put they are important, essential, because they are changing, but they are not the only one. If you think about the phenomenon, for example, distributed ledger technology, blockchain, let's say, blockchain is something, and largely distributed ledger technology. Distributed ledger technology is the really game changer for our societal paradigms. Before writing the book, I was not aware of what is sociological science. So I studied for 6 months what is sociological science, what means, and extracted for my use, only 4 paradigms, that is order, conflict, structure, and actions, social structure, social order, etc. And I try to imagine, to figure out how technology can, merge and how can change. And my research found that blockchain is, in my opinion, blockchain, distributed ledger, is the most disruptive one that will change everything for now. And this is already happening because blockchain and other digital technology, they enable disintermediation and they enable decentralization. That is something that is not only happening in the financial sector. If you think disintermediation, we can say disintermediation from media, from TV. Yes, of course, if you watch YouTube, if you watch the streaming, you are no more watching TV. You are directly linked with the creator that is created the video. So you don't have intermediary like TV or journal. People that want to be informed about technology, this is just an example, can follow my channel on LinkedIn, Twitter, technology business related. They are following me directly, Antonio, not Antonio that write on the journal, that the journal reaches you. It's a bit different. If you talk about the entertainment, we can see Netflix, Disney Plus, Paramount Plus, such a good example of this intermediation that is impacting our society, our economy. If you subscribe to Paramount Plus or to Disney Plus, you subscribe directly to the corporate, to Disney corporate. So in that case, Disney is selling directly to you the movie without intermediary. The problem is not in itself technology, is the what they create, what they change. This is hard to understand. This is why I wrote a complete book, because it's not easy to understand what will change. We can talk about AI. Okay, but apart from the hype, apart from politicals that are really interesting in AI because they fear they can lose, it's real, they are fear a reality, not an imagination, that AI can influence the opinion of it. They are right. So they're trying to regulate, that is so important to regulate, in my opinion, but that change, but it has a start and has a finish. Does not, AI, in my opinion, does not impact the profound gangles of our society, the profound node we have in our society. They will be impacted more from the decentralization and disintermediation enabled by blockchain, in my opinion, distributed ledger at large. And I don't want to talk only of blockchain, but blockchain is the most interesting one. So to answer your question, main technology are changing the outcome. We must watch the outcome, not only the path to reach that outcome. We must worry about this. But overall, the new enhanced role of people is paramount. This is why the tagline of my book is "Where digital revolution meets people revolution." Not revolution in terms of riots. No, revolution in terms of different role, in terms of something that is doing in different way, Gregorio.
Thank you. You're describing a future from a different point of views. And going also through your book, there is one thing that I think it's important to mention, if you're speaking about in 10 years, in 15 years, or in 20 years, because at the end, we are all parents, friends, we have children and so on. And I know that you are delving into sustainability in your chapter number 6. Perhaps could you share a bit also about this topic? Because this is extremely relevant, because all the technology that you mentioned needs also energy, needs carbon and so on. And therefore, I would like to understand your view on that.
Yeah. They need energy. But if we think about also the energy source, because we need to mix it with energy source, because if we talk about the energy, it's something that drive our economy, our life. If we don't talk about digital technology, if you talk about industrial industries, the industry uses energy, of course. So also digital technology use, but we have a different view about how technology can impact sustainability. Let me say one of the most important is the awareness. Thanks to digital technology that created social media, that connect us even more, we are able to exchange ideas and opinion, but we are also able to inform people and to allow them to have a different vision about, for example, of the environment. So in this case, it is true, digital computer consume electric power, yes, but also the cars. So it's something that is a cost that we must pay to advance as civilization. It's a cost. The problem is that we go in the step, one step to digital advancement, in my opinion, one step to renew the energy sources. This is something that must be step by step. And in my opinion, we must have a big corporation that must be convinced of that, the value they report. And this is why in my book I talk also about stakeholder capitalism. That is another shift that is important to happen if we want to grow as a civilization toward a better civilization. stakeholder capitalism is capitalism, because I'm a capitalist. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm not a socialist, not because I don't like, absolutely. The reality is that I am a capitalist. But you can be a better capitalist. You can be, instead of a merry shareholder capitalism, that is the pure capitalism, the one we are experiencing now, where few people hold the most of the wealth, and people at large are suffering, many countries are suffering from famine or other. Instead of pushing towards an absolute capitalism, a shareholder that we call a shareholder capitalism, because we think only about profit, we think only about create profit for our shareholder. That is important, I know, because they risk their money, so it's important to remunerate the risk. I have no doubt about that. But if we move a bit forward, we can step into a different kind of capitalism. That is always capitalism. That is always put profit as important thing, but not the only thing, not the first thing, not the only thing, depend on the personal vision and aspiration. But stakeholder capitalism is a kind of capitalism that favor, yes, of course, the shareholder, because they need to be remunerated. They put capital inside, but also employee, also the network, the supply chain, without harnessing, without exploiting the supplier, for example, and also think about the people that are using your product. Think about the planet. If I can talk of one good example, if I can, I want to mention Panasonic is one company I'm working with them. They are really unbelievable proactive in marrying this vision. You know, they launched the Panasonic Green Impact. They are not the only company. I am experienced with many other companies, but I want to point out that they are a real life example of how a corporation, bigger corporation, one of the most important corporation that is working on enhancing a product, consume less energy. So it's marrying stakeholder capital. I don't know if they talk about stakeholder capital. This is my opinion, personal opinion. And we need to foster more example like that, companies that marry. I think one important matter is the ESG, you know, environment and social governance is something that is really interesting in the context of goal, enterprise sustainability goal. And it's a joke because, you know, ESG is the same, enterprise sustainable goal and the environment, the social governance. Okay. So, in my opinion, I think we need to move toward become a better civilization, become better, marrying, opening our mind, being more inclusive. And I don't know, Gregory, I can talk for hours about that. So, I must stop.
I think. Now it's the good point in time to suggest to the audience to post this podcast, go to their preferred bookshop and buy this outstanding book, Toward a Post-Digital Society, where digital evolution meets people revolution. I would have hundreds of additional questions, but taking care of your time and the time of the audience, this game is coming to an end. But we have extra time, 3 minutes for the last three questions. In 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
Sorry?
In 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast.
Okay. Sorry. As a first, we are discussing of the enhanced role of people. We will discuss about how people are driving society without intermediaries. I have a dream. I know it's a it's a phrase, but more important than me, I have a dream. But I really have a dream. I have a dream where I can see people that decide their destiny day by day, using digital evolution. For example, let me say, to vote directly supporting the government without the parliament as intermediaries. This is 10 to 15 years. we can discuss about this. We can discuss about a large corporation that are marrying the stakeholder capitalism model, where they become, yes, they pursue the profit, but not only the profit. I know this is something that I call I have a dream again, but it can become reality, depend on us.
Thank you. And I think we need people that dreams and have these dreams and have these ideas, because somebody needs to start. And thank you, Antonio, that you started this revolution. What's the best way to contact you?
I'm on social. If you search me on Google, you for sure will find me, but I'm on social, on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. If you search Antonio Grasso, for sure you will find me, because you remember my ugly face. You can see the same. Social media is my best way to engage with people that want to contact me.
And to the audience, you can find all these contact details also in the show notes. And don't forget the book in every bookstores, Amazon and so on. You can find that, buy it, and please let us know what you think about it. Now we are coming to the last question. Is Antonio's golden nugget? It's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience.
I wrote it before our podcast start, to be sure to express what I have inside. And what I wrote is adopting technology as a force that positively impacts our world to the betterment of human beings. What I mean, I already said everything about that, but I think that technology can really be a change agent and let allow us to become a change agent for the betterment of the human being. Grow together, harnessing technology, try to move over the divide, the silos we are creating in our world, you know, West against East, Europe, NATO, USA, Russia, China, Iran, please stop. We are human beings, everyone. We have different cultural differences. Yeah, I know we are different, but this is the reason why we are here now, because we are different and we are stimulating each other in a way. So let technology become allowing, enabling us to become better people for the betterment of the entire human beings, all the civilization, I hope. It's another dream.
Thank you, Antonio. It was great to discuss with you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Gregorio, for this opportunity. Thank you for having me, and thank you the people that are listening to me. Ciao.
And to the audience, I hope that you enjoyed this discussion as much as I did. We love feedback. Feel free to contact me, to contact Antonio for any questions. You will find all the relevant information in the show notes. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.